You know what time it is. Sports Card Strategy Show, Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. What's up, everybody? Hope you're having a good day. Got the crew here with me, but before we jump into that, I want to talk about Graybo's Sports Cards. Graybo's is a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One Time Dotson, who is on the show with us today. They're located in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's sports the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic and a wide variety of wax. Listeners of the Sports Card Strategy Show, aka all of you, can receive a 10% discount on any Graybo's.co purchase. Go to Graybo's.co, enter the promo code STRATEGY2023. Also, news, Graybo's now breaks on Whatnot and or Drip 5 nights a week, including baseball, basketball, football, and even wrestling. And if you use the link in their IG bio at Graybo's underscore cards, you can get a $15 credit after your first purchase on Drip. Follow all of Graybo's news and updates on IG at Graybo's underscore cards. Can't wait to talk to Duke today. But first, I want to tell you guys, also, don't forget, you can get unlimited personalized advice to build your sports card investment portfolio. Do that by going to nooffseason.com right now and signing up for a free 30-day trial. Chad, Lefty, Connor, Sonia, the whole team, myself, we are building out some amazing content there. We're going to get into some more of that today. Also, we get all of our data from Market Movers, marketmoversapp.com. Use the promo code NOOFFSEASON. Get a 14-day free trial plus 20% off for life on everything at marketmoversapp.com. Great to see everybody. That's a mouthful. We know it is, but we'll go around the horn and say hello to Kendall, the Lefty McKee. How you doing, brother?
Good morning, fellas. How are we in the sports card world?
I'm doing great. I like the gas hat you're sporting. Thanks, I've got some,
it's got a little lint on it, 'cause it collects anything that I have in my house, but
GasTradingCards.com. I've got some stuff to talk about related to gas during one of my segments today. Duke Denny, One Time Dotson, reporting from Richmond, Virginia. I recognize the podcast studio under the shop. Got to unmute yourself. How you doing today?
I'm great, guys. It was a pleasure seeing you guys at National recently, and very excited to be with you this morning.
Awesome. Dr. Crack, Chad Gill. Ryan Borusky gave him the nickname the Sports Card Doctor, and then Kendall just started calling him Dr. Crack because of all the slabs he's cracking. How you doing, Chad?
I'm doing great. How's everybody else doing?
Doing well, doing well. Let's welcome in the nooffseason.com and Sports Card Strategy Show family. If you're new to the show, good morning to you. And if you're listening on Apple and Spotify, it may not be morning, but we are live streaming on YouTube. So the way that we do it, for those of you not familiar, is we go live on YouTube every Monday, but then we immediately post the show on all of the podcast apps. So if you're not in the live chat, don't feel left out. You can DM us at Sports Card Strategy on Instagram or tweet at No Offseason Card. You can email me at paul@nooffseason.com. And now, guys, guess what? There's one more thing for me to say. You can text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727. That's texting the word sports cards. And for Oh My Shoes, you can change up all your capitalizations as long as you have all one word, sports cards, 1-833-992-5727. And the reason why you would do that is because Mr. Connor Barnett and I, as well as Lefty McKee and Chad Gill, we are sending you sports card sell alerts directly to your mobile device. And so the reason why that's important is because not only do we do our content every week for buy and sell of the week, but sometimes there's a prospect call up. Sometimes there's a trade. And you need to list those mother scratchers right away. So we're going to text you. Text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727. And we're going to get you those sell alerts. So hello to Lonnie J. Conley, Mark Drazinski, Ryan Borusky, Ryan Painter, Cleo Card, Southern Soccer Idiot, Oh My Shoes, Janelle Shoe, part of the Oh My Shoes extended family because their last name is Shoe. All right, everybody. Time to get into it. Before we get into L of the week, There's a few questions that I have that I want to talk to our experts about today. Rocky Empire Sports Cards in the house. Good to see you as well. Okay, we had a question come in from Craig's Cards 11. And I reached out to Chase Krim at Texas Roadshow Shop as well because I thought he'd have a good answer for this. So stay tuned for the Overflow show. Well, let's go over to Dr. Crack Chad Gill for this one first. Craig's Cards 11 asked, what premium do you put on a jersey number serial numbered card? Is there a general rule of thumb to value low serial numbered cards that don't have a comp? I guess this is two questions. But the question I was kind of reaching out to about Chase is, and I talked to Chase about this at the National, is like when you have a jersey numbered serial numbered card. So for example, what would an example of this be? It would be like Michael Vick, 7 out of 10. And he's wearing the number 7 in the card. Does that hold more weight than like the number 5 out of 10 for that particular card? And if so, how much?
Yes, for sure. That adds value. That's one of the things I look for because not everybody realizes that there is a premium on that. I think it's 10 to 25% more. From my experience, I just recently sold a Jordan Love rookie ticket auto gold number 10, 10 out of 10. So the card number was 10. It was numbered to 10. It was serial numbered 10 of 10. And it was a PSA 10. And his jersey number is 10. And compared to the other sales of that card, there's only one other card that was a PSA 10, and it was a recent sale. Compared to that, I got about 25% more than what that card listed for. So when I look at it, I add 10 to 25%.
Love that. That's kind of what I was thinking too. Great to have some validation on that. Lefty, I wanted to ask you, if you have anything to add, that's great. But the second part of Craig's question, is there a general rule of thumb to value low serial numbered cards that don't have a comp? And then he kind of elaborates and says, say there was a recent BGS 9 510 auto sale. What would a PSA 10 be valued at? This is like, again, low serial. So there's not like a PSA 10 comp. But then he kind of says, what does everyone think about raw compared to PSA 9? So basically he's like, okay, let's say there's your out of 5 ND Rodriguez that you had when you were trying to comp that out. What did that grade out? Did that end up grading a 9 or a 10?
No, it's a 10.
Okay. So that's a good example, actually. Like when you were trying to comp that out, you probably didn't find like any of the 4 other ones that were PSA 10s. So did you go try to find like a PSA 9 of that or a raw of that? Did that play into how you tried to comp that out?
Yeah, I actually did comp it out based about where the superfractor was, because there was a superfractor 10 out on the market, kind of like it had been listed a couple times on eBay. And so I just went a little bit under what they were listing, and then I just took offers from there. I also compared it to other out of fives for other prospects that had come out with Sapphire out of fives. I think actually it would sell for a little bit differently now because Sapphire is getting a lot more respect in the last 12 months than it had gotten previously. Equally, it is hard. We answered this on the Overflow show last week, but it's hard to take low serial number cards and build more value on them unless you get a 10. So it's kind of a little bit of a risky play. And like we've said this for a couple of months now, but it used to be a PSA 8 is raw value. I see PSA 9 is maybe 5% of an increase versus a raw value. At least that's what I'm seeing. Chad probably has data behind that, but the PSA 9 is now the new raw, I think. So PSA 8 is just crack worthy. If that's, PSA 8 or under, unless it's a vintage card.
Nice. Duke Denny one time Dotson, our favorite local card shop owner in the world. And he's also a great content creator and an all around good guy. And he's a breaker now. Duke, do you have experience at Graybo's like with this kind of thing where you guys are looking at like Don? I know does a great job acquiring cards for you. Is Don sort of scouting out like like the jersey match number to the serial numbered, or are you, I mean, you guys are probably doing a ton of comping these days in terms of how you would, like, how would you answer Craig's two-part question from your perspective?
Yeah, from the jersey match question, I would say what Chad said sounds right. I think the premium is higher the better the player is, if they're, for example, if and how rare the card is. So for premium, like Kobe and MJ and LeBron, those guys have really high-end collectors that go after them. So they're going to pay for that jersey match like a lot more than like a Trae Young. Like we had a Trae Young, pretty big Trae Young jersey match, and it might have gone at 5% higher than comp, something like that, because there's not as many high-end Trae Young collectors. And then to the hard-to-comp question, you know, as a card shop, we'll be very careful in buying those really rare, like to 10 Jordan Loves, for example, like raw. Because if there's no comp, we'll just be very careful. And the way we do comp it is, yeah, compare it. We will look at other players of that same year and position and see if they have a comp. Like if Jordan Love doesn't have a comp for that card to 10, but another rookie quarterback the same class has one, we'll look at that. And we'll also look at other Jordan Love cards to 10 in different products that are similarly priced products. And it's an imperfect science. And so as a card shop, we are careful. We'll still buy them, but we'll just be a little more careful than a comp that's a card that's very easy to comp. And as an investor, I would probably do the same thing. If I'm not sure what it's worth, I'm just going to be very careful before I buy it.
Yeah. And you mentioned a few names in there, Kobe, Jordan, LeBron, that they all happen to wear different jersey numbers throughout their career. Jordan, not so much. It was just for that one half a season, but definitely Kobe and LeBron switched their numbers. And so I talked to Chase at the National about like, how does he handle like a Jalen Hurts type of a situation where he was number two as a rookie and now he's number one. So there's, I think that like the punchline is these are all very interesting opportunities for collectors, investors, flippers to kind of see, okay, is this a Jalen Hurts number two out of 10 and he's a rookie and he's wearing number two, is that going to sell for more, or because he's number one now? Like it's just, there's all these weird intricacies. So I think that they all kind of bring up different opportunities, but thanks guys for weighing in on that. If you guys have questions out there in the audience, especially if you're new to the show, we welcome you in, and we'd encourage you to ask some questions. So Paul at nooffseason.com is a great way to do that, or DM on IG at Sports Card Strategy. We'll get you guys on the show. Good morning to Shane Graham. Good morning, Craig's Cards 11. Here we go. Got here just in time, he said. Good to see you. We saw Leslie Alegria in the comments. That's Oh My Shoes is better half. Shoes is here too. I don't mean to miss Shoes. Anyway, Duke, you're up first for L of the Week, man. We're excited. We're excited to have you on the show. Unfortunately, we always talk about a loss first, just to let everybody know out there that we are not perfect. We don't always make the right calls. So if you're new to the show, we like to lead off with an L. And if you guys out in the audience have an L that you want to share, please let us know. But Duke Denny, one time Dodson, one of the co-owners of Graybo's Sports Cards in Richmond, Virginia. What was your L of the Week, man?
So the first, like, give a shout out to my guy. You mentioned him already. We call him Vintage Don. He at National, he started feeling under the weather and has been out ever since then. It's been 2 weeks. He's been going through some health issues. And just if he's listening, I'd like to know, I'll let him know that we're thinking about him. Hope he gets back into the shop soon, first and foremost. And then our L of the Week. So we bought that big Jordan, a PSA 9, Mike Baker certified, which means it's in the top 5% of all PSA 9s. And we were hoping we could maybe cross it over to an SGC and maybe get a 10. And if that worked, your show and tell, somebody on your show and tell gave us that advice, was to try to take it to SGC and see if they'll give it a 10. And then if so, great. And the value spikes. And then take it to PSA, see if they would agree that it's a 10. So we sent it to SGC. We got notification that it's coming back to us, and it's nothing's in the emails mentioning a grade. So I assume it did not hit a 10. So I'm assuming it's coming back in the PSA 9. So we kind of figured that's the more likely outcome, but we were still kind of hoping we had found a diamond in the rough there. So we still have a PSA 9 Jordan, which is not bad, but we were hoping for better.
I really, really like that you guys took that approach though. I mean, I think that's really smart, even though it could be an L, to get it checked in the graded card review, basically for SGC, I think is a good way to do that. And yeah, definitely shout out to Vintage Don. We hope that he feels better soon. And it was good to see him at the National, even though it was only for like 30 seconds. That was too bad. But
yeah.
Oh My Shoes has an L of the week that he wants to share. He had a card get sent back to him. He says, I bought the stamp through eBay and everything, so it was a little confusing. But Dr. Chad helped me out. So Chad probably knows more about that shoes. Thanks for sharing. Duke, you mentioned something that's really cool, actually. So before I move over to Lefty for his L of the week, you mentioned Mike Baker, MBA, Mike Baker authentication. So I was sitting on the plane back from the National, from Chicago to Nashville, and I was sitting next to, I want to say it was Brian Benda on Instagram. I think it was my guy, Brian Benda, super knowledgeable guy, had been in the hobby like way longer than me. And he told me about that MBA, Mike Baker authentication. Like I had heard of it, but I didn't know exactly what it was. And so to Duke's point, it's basically a way of like taking, in his case, a PSA 9. And then what Mike Baker does, and Mike Baker was the, correct me, somebody if I'm wrong, but he was the first grader at PSA or the first lead grader at PSA. And so now he has this company MBA. And so he will take a graded card and he will tell you what, like what percentile it is. Essentially it's a likelihood to cross over to a different company. So what Duke and his team were trying to do is like on this Michael Jordan 1986 Fleer PSA 9, and it was because it was MBA authenticated or certified. It was Mike Baker was giving them the odds that it could cross over to a 10 or even get regraded a 10 at PSA, or cross over to a 10 at a different grading company. So I think that's like a great service for you guys to look into if you have like, you know, higher dollar cards that you're looking to cross over. But anyway, let's go over to Lefty for L of the week. Or anything you want to add to what Duke said here?
No, I'm going to move from the Duke point. But in my L of the week is this Wander Franco news is terrible. I think it's terrible for the hobby. I think it's terrible for what's going on in his life. I think it's terrible for all the investors that invested very heavily in Wander Franco. But if you're not familiar, Wander Franco has... there's speculation that he is, however you look at it, he was in a relationship with a 14-year-old girl, and there's kind of some stuff that has come out that is not looking good for him. Let's just put it that way. So of all the girls in the sea, he chose a 14-year-old lady that is coming forward. So I don't really want to, I don't know a whole lot of the details, but I do know it's affecting a lot of his market. I'm saddened by this because earlier this year, we told about how we felt like Wander Franco and Bobby Witt Jr. were some really good hidden gem investments. And as a baseball player, he has a lot to prove. Like he has a lot in him, basically, is what I'm saying. And it's just an absolute L of the year, I think, if he potentially could not play baseball again, guys, and that's going to be really bad. So that's an L of the week. I don't know if you guys want to elaborate any further on that, but I do have another L of the week too.
Lonnie Conley's chiming in saying that things like this are kind of keeping him more towards vintage collections as these things kind of are always a risk. But I'd say it's a risk probably with retired guys too, so I don't know that I would... Just because a guy's not playing anymore doesn't mean that they won't be involved in some kind of a scandal. But thanks to Lonnie for that. Hold a Carl Malone, Rocky Empire Sports Card says. Very sad. Lefty, keep going, brother.
My actual L of the week that I had before we signed up for the show yesterday was that I bought a card this week that I'll share my win of the week because in the long term, it is a win. I bought a card this week that I wanted to hold for the next 5 to 10 years, probably, which is not something we normally talk about on the show. And I wanted to eBay vault it because I basically didn't want to touch it. I didn't want to have, it in front of me because I wanted to be able to just hold it for the long term. And I signed up for eBay Vault, got all this stuff, bought the card, and I was like, cool, how do I figure out how to ship it there? Then I realized that I cannot ship it to the vault because it is not a graded card. And so what I learned this week is my L before I signed up and bought this card is that the eBay Vault currently only takes submissions that are graded and with a restriction value of $250 plus on cards that can be graded and vaulted. Now, that fits some of the bill for some of the cards that we talk about, for instance, Bowman Chrome Autos that are graded and things like that. But I have a lot of cards that are ungraded, and I've sold a lot of cards that are ungraded this year because, you know, maybe they're thick RPAs or something like that. But that was an L for me that I did not look into the actual specifics of the eBay vault before assuming that my card could go there.
Yeah, you and I were texting about that, and like I was in the middle of doing a bunch of other stuff, and it was like, yeah, because you're like, hey, I think I want to start using the eBay vault kind of exclusively. And I was like, great idea. I love it, but they have restrictions. And then I never like replied to you because you're like, what are the restrictions? And I never replied back because there's like a bunch of restrictions. And I remember when we had an advertising deal with eBay about the vault last year, and it's a great service, but I wrote a bunch of blogs about it as part of that advertising deal. And I wrote a blog. One of the blogs I wrote was about like how, you know, you could use it for like saving on shipping costs and sales tax for all these different cards. And they were like, well, actually like not for all of these cards. And I'm like, yeah, that's a lot of restrictions. I think that for it to really take off, they're going to need to remove all those restrictions. I think if there's probably reasons, business reasons why that is the case, but I think if and when they do remove those restrictions, it could really take off as like the number one vault, right? Because that's where most card purchases are still happening, even though there's growth of PWCC, MySlabs, other marketplaces, collectors, things like that. Everybody has a vault now. But eBay has the market and the vault. So if they could remove the restrictions from the vault, I think it'd be a really good thing. Rocky Empire has an L of the week. Bought a bunch of Sauce Gardner this weekend, even though I know it's not football buying season. So he's taking an L. Taking an L. All right. Well, you know, hopefully Sauce's value goes up anyway, Rocky. All right, Chad, over to you for your L of the week, man.
All right. Well, my L of the week, I anticipated was going to be an L of the week, and unfortunately, I was right. So knowing that I was going to go into some heavy buying season, I decided I've got way too many slabs sitting on my closet floor that I need to get rid of. So I took a handful of them. I took 15 of them, and I was going to cash out on them. So I put them on eBay, 7-day auctions. And all 15, of course, sold. That's the advantage of doing eBay auctions, is you know that they're going to be some guaranteed sales. My L comes in the fact that eBay has got to get this fixed, especially with Fanatics starting their own marketplace, or eBay is going to lose a lot of people. A lot of people complain about this. Of the 15 cards that sold, 8 of them went unpaid. 4 of them are 4 days old. So this morning I canceled all 4 and relisted them because they are 4 days old, and I can do that without getting dinged. The other 4 have until the end of the day today, or the other 3 have until the end of the day today. And if I'm assuming if you wait 4 days to pay, you're not going to pay. So 8 of my 15 cards are, looks like they're going to have to get relisted. So that was an L. The reason I like to do buy it nows is on buy it nows, you can click a box on eBay that requires immediate payment, and you can't do that on auctions. So eBay needs to get that fixed. Add the button for the buy it now versus the auction. Put it on there for the auction so we can get immediate payment. There's no reason why somebody can't pay for a card if they want it. The other half of the L was the 7 cards that did sell and did get paid for. Here's the other thing. And I knew going into this that I was going to take a little bit of a bigger loss, but when you do auctions and they are not premium, high hyped players, they oftentimes sell for less than what you can get on a buy it now if you're patient and wait. So the what I had them listed for with what the most recent comps were versus what I got on the seven cars that did sell, I took a $110 loss compared to most recent comps on those seven cards. So that's the other reason I'm not a huge fan of auctions. But if you're doing auctions, just a reminder, do the players that are getting hyped, that have a lot of hype around them. That helps tremendously. But I did free up some money, so I did go ahead and spend some more, bought some more cards. So I'll save that for the buys of the week.
Yeah, that's great stuff. I mean, I could not agree with you more that eBay absolutely has to fix slash implement the ability to take the payment from an auction winner the same way that they do for the buy it now. And they don't do it on all buy it nows. They do it on some. So I think it's, we've talked about it on the show before. It's getting better, but it needs to be fixed to the extent that when you bid on an auction and you win the auction, they do take your payment. I think that eBay definitely protects the buyer, which is one of the reasons why it has become the marketplace, because the buyer is protected. So that's a good thing, but it is super frustrating as a reputable seller. There needs to be something along the lines of, like, if your buyer profile is at a certain level and that level matches up with a seller profile that it's at a certain level, it should just be an instant transaction when you are the top bidder on that card. So totally agree with you on that one, Chad. AG cards in the house. My L was getting outbid all weekend on basketball cards. Market seems to be on an upswing. So yeah, people are buying. It's a good time to buy basketball cards right now, even with the market on an upswing, because there should be some good selling opportunities in October and November for a lot of the guys that are performing and even just on the hype cycle of basketball. So good to see that, but sorry, AG, that you got outbid. Maybe that was Chad. I would say that was Chad, although we know Chad blew all of his budget last week on basketball cards. So I'm not sure that it was Chad. But I want to give, for my L of the week, I want to give a shout out to a guy named Jordan Levine. He was a premium subscriber to NoOffseason.com, canceled his subscription, and I asked him for some feedback as to why. He said that the content's great and basically was not, the premium package was not in his budget, but he did bring up a great point. He said that a lot of content creators don't go into the real breakdown of the profits that come from these cards. So in other words, people will say, I bought this card for $10, had it graded, sold it for 50, but they don't say, I bought it for 10, but with shipping and sales tax, I paid 16. Then I had it graded for 20. I was in for 36, sold it for 50, ended up with 44 after eBay fees. So I made an $8 profit and spent a half an hour between the buying, listing, shipping, all that stuff. So it's actually a great point by Jordan. And I wanted to bring up, for my L of the week, I have a couple examples of this where I'm kind of looking at it and I'm going, oh, I sold this card for a profit. But when I break down my sale of a 2023 Alyssa Thompson SI for Kids PSA 7, it's like, okay, part of the L is the U.S. women's national team got knocked out early, which was not part of the plan for listing my Alyssa Thompson cards. But nevertheless, it sold. I was all in for $19 on this card. The card, I chalked up the card to being free because it was next to the Victor Wembanyama cards. So I look at this as while there was a cost to that card, there actually wasn't, because I was buying the Victor Wembanyama card. Alyssa Thompson was free. RPO Sports Cards, James Bradford down in Texas, said, hey, Alyssa Thompson's a thing. You should probably grade those as well. So I'm $19 into the Alyssa Thompson card. It sold for $41.74. So I'm thinking, that's pretty good. That's a profit, right? Well, it's kind of like the order total was $41.74, but what my order earnings was after eBay took all of the shipping and the sales tax and the fees out, the order earnings is $29.11. So really I only profited $10 off of that card. Another example is my Anthony Richardson 2022 Bowman Chrome University First Prospects Auto. It got a PSA 10. but I paid $149 for the card, $20 for the grading. So now I'm into it $169, $170. The order total that the buyer paid, $237.97 after all the transaction fees, sales tax, shipping taken out of that, the order earnings that I get is $186.91. That breaks down to basically like an $8 to $10 profit on this Anthony Richardson card. And thank God I got a PSA 10. Because if I wouldn't have gotten a PSA 10, then, you know, that's not, that's definitely a huge L. So anyway, that's my L of the week. And good morning to Evan Bell. You're going to help us turn things around as we go into our W's of the week. So let's go back over to the lefty for W of the week. What do you got, man?
What's up, guys? So this is something way more fun to talk about than the L of the week, but I spoke of it earlier, but I bought a long-term hold of Carlos Alcaraz out of 500 net pro card that we've been talking about. So I ended up buying one of these for about $250. It is more than we talked about originally, but as we go back, I think Carlos Alcaraz, as he won Wimbledon, I think he'll keep winning tournaments. This is a very long-term hold for me, but I wanted to have something for the next GOAT. As we've talked about, my goal eventually is to be able to buy a house straight up with sports cards. And I think this could be something that could go in for a down payment. Nothing super special, but definitely one that I see growing exponentially over the next 5 to 10 years as he becomes the leading GOAT in terms when all these three, when the three big guys retire. I think Alcaraz will be the next guy going forward. So I did buy a tennis card this week that is my W of the week. But here, and Manziel is back, which is another great thing. Giga Maggies, he's back in the limelight. But the thing that I want to talk about the most for my absolute win of the week is this diamond in the rough right here, boys. Found out this week that Dr. Chad Crack is a massive pigeon salesman. This is his prize pigeon right here in the flesh slash in the feathers. Our Dr. Chad Crack right now is selling a wild amount of pigeons, ladies and gentlemen. This is something I did not know about the man. And my win of the week was finding that welovebaldheads.com is in fact a pigeon website for world champion pigeons led by none other than Dr. Chad Crack.
This it does
not get any better than this, boys. It does not get any better. Let's just go look at some winter photos. Look at what a beautiful specimen. You can play the bird. Oh, my goodness, boys. Denny, tell me you did not know about this.
Nothing ceases to amaze me. The more layers of onion you peel back on Dr. Chad, the more you're amazed.
It's Chad is flipping pigeons. Chad, like, tell us what your
Look at this.
Win. What's your win of the year or win of the week recently flipping pigeons?
I sold a 2-time national champion for $10,000.
Chad is flipping pigeons. Like, you thought he was good at sports cards. Unbelievable.
This has literally changed the way I have viewed Chad. I saw a pigeon that I was walking in. Now, not his pigeons, but a regular pigeon. I saw a pigeon walking into Walmart last night, and I looked at my wife, and I was like, that's probably Chad's. And she's like, you know, he's got spies all over the place. So not only are birds potentially robots from the government, but they're potentially robot spies from Chad. I think Chad is in on all of this, and that's why he gets the best sports deals out there, Paul.
I definitely have pigeons doing scouting for sports cards for me. You got me. You busted me, Lefty.
Yeah, does he have pigeons going into different dimensions into the future and figuring out like which players are gonna perform well and then coming back to?
Hey, at this point, I would not put it past him.
I will say that one of the fun things is at the National in Louisville, Kentucky, every year you do get to see some high profile celebrities that raise pigeons get to hang out with Mike Tyson every year for a weekend down in Kentucky. That's always fun.
What?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Some of the comments coming in the live chat are pretty good. Janelle Shu says probably trains the pigeons to snipe on eBay. That could get Chad some more sleep, because then he could, if his pigeons are sniping on eBay for him as well, then he could sleep more. Anyway.
Dang, Lefty, look at this. Look at the bars on this off one. The
screen, Lefty.
This one tried to break out of his cell, Paul. He's a tough one.
Okay, the pigeon flipping strategy show is going to be a new feature. Don't worry, everybody.
Anyway, that was my win of the week.
Well, I think we have to segue over to Chad for his now. Since it just has to happen. We can't put Duke on the spot yet. So Chad, the pigeon flipper, what's your win of the week, man?
My win of the week was that the Premier League started back up again and soccer is back at it. And my boy Erling Haaland had 2 goals in the very first game. He is taking off where last season left off. I still, Lefty disagrees with me when I say this, but he is unquestionably the best soccer player in the world right now.
He's definitely the best goal scorer. I'll give you that.
Yes. And I was able to, in my spending spree that last weekend, I was able to, remember I had, a few weeks ago, I had said one of the buys of the week was his 2019 Topps Chrome rookie card PSA 10. I was able to score one of those for $600, and they're already up to a little over $700. Erling Haaland and the Premier League back in action. That's my W of the week.
Awesome. Some more W's of the week from my perspective. AG Card says, always a good way to start the week with the sports card strategy show. Shane Graham, happy Monday. Brian Steeler, 714 in the house. W of the week for Oh My Shoes is that fall ball team starts for practice and for mini shoes. Love that. Global is in the house, quickly becoming a regular listener from Australia. Good to see Global.
G'day, mate.
And SSI in the house for the live stream is a win of the week. And he's flipping birds to Chad. Love that. Duke, Denny, one-time Dodson. So many wins of the week so far, man.
I'm just going through trying to figure out what like an average day is like for Chad. So 16 hours a day, he researches cards on eBay. 6 hours a day, he sells pigeons. 1 hour a day, he does his like job, runs Holiday Automotive. And that leaves 1 hour a day to do this whenever his light turns off. So he does not sleep. Clearly, he doesn't sleep. Because that adds up to 24. I thought it was funny because you guys call him Dr. Crack. And I'm a big like hip-hop fan. And there's a rapper named Fat Joe they call Joey Crack.
Yes.
That's not because Fat Joe cracks slabs or used to crack slabs, but I think it's the, if you ever watch The Wire, like the drug kingpin in there, Marlo has like a pigeon coop. And so I do think that Chad might be a drug kingpin and this is all a front. So that's my rumor. He's flipping crack and pigeons. So, all right.
He's Heisenberg.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So my win of the week, well, going back to national, I'd like to say my experience in national was like less than perfect because I got there the worst day, the day the AC broke. I was in and out. Don was sick. We didn't buy that much. We couldn't find as many deals as we would like. But I did find a Colt Keith card from my guy Lefty. Lefty and I did a deal on a blue Colt Keith auto, I think the 250. So thanks. Shout out to Lefty for that.
150, baby.
150, excuse me. But I looked for Colt, I looked for Roman Anthony, I looked for a lot of baseball guys, and all I saw was football. And like 90% of the cards I saw were football, and the basketball and baseball guys I was looking for, couldn't find at the National, which is a little disappointing. I only had one day. It was a busy day. But at the shop this week, the big W of the week is we are doing a box. Graybo's doing a box at our Richmond Flying Squirrels game this Wednesday. They play the Nats double A team. So James Wood's going to be in town. So we'll get to see that on Wednesday. And Jackson Holiday has been here the last 4 or 5 days and he's played well as the Orioles double A team has been in town. So a lot of folks have been there. A couple guys I know went to the game, got Holiday's autograph before the game on card. So it's been a fun week in minor league baseball in Richmond, VA.
So the hip hop that you mentioned, you and I probably have to talk offline about that, but get ready for my wins of the week, Duke. I think you might like them. And I think Lefty's going to like them too, by the way. So when we were at the National, we happened to be lucky enough to have our booth was with Tim Larson from Signs of the Times Collectibles. Shout out to Tim and J-Mo, his son Jameson. Great guys. And so we were with them all week. But next to us was a card company called GAS, GasTradingCards.com. I mentioned them on the show a few times, and we actually spoke to one of their partners, Greg Rivera. And in that episode at our booth, Greg was telling me about the Tupac release that was exclusive to the National. So after that show, I immediately walked over, much to Lefty's chagrin, and spent $168 on a boatload of Tupac cards. And so I am very, very happy to report. Get ready. Buckle up, everybody. The out of 10 super short print Tupac card sold for $186.55. A net earnings, I'm not going to go through my whole spiel like I did earlier in the L of the week. The net earnings, $143.66. The out of 25 super short print Tupac card, net earnings, $91.42. The entire set of four out of 100 parallels, net earnings, $173.45. The set, this is my personal favorite, the set of four base cards, which I still have four of, net earnings, $142.54. Total net earnings, $551.07. I bought the cards total for $168. Total profit, Lefty, $383.07, just from walking five steps to my right and buying Tupac Shakur cards.
Hey, man, when you see an opportunity, go for it.
What was, be honest with everybody, though. What was your reaction when I came back and I said, I just spent $168 on Tupac cards?
I was like, cool.
Not
something I would do.
You said something like, did they have Luke Bryan cards or something ridiculous like that? I don't know.
No, I was way more off put by your Kenny Pickett take that day than I was the Tupac cards. I believe that there's value in the GAS trading cards. It's just not something I'm interested in nor willing to put money behind, you know? And so I'm glad that you ended up profiting. So
I am too. And so
I loved talking with him. You know, obviously I'm wearing the hat today, you know, so.
Yeah, that's true. I got to give you credit for wearing the hat. But I do want to caution everybody out there. So Duke and I do need to talk more about hip hop, and there are hip hop card opportunities. But I want to caution everybody out there that like the reason I went and made this play is because it was exclusive to the National. That to me was the thing where it's like, okay, I'm here. Other people aren't. I need to take advantage of this opportunity. So I think the takeaway is that I'm not saying go out and buy hip hop cards. There's a lot of junk everywhere related to everything. And there's also gems. And I was able to find these gems just knowing that if I'm at a show and it's exclusive to the show and other people aren't at the show, there's going to be demand coming out of that show because people weren't there. And it's Tupac. Like this is an icon. This is, you know, Tupac, you know, is somebody that, you know, just has a diehard fan base and his music lives on. So, did Rocky just rip on your age there?
Is that I think this is pro me. Lefty seems a little too young to get it, Paul. That's true. I actually remember when the news report came across the screen that Tupac had been shot, and I'd never heard of Tupac at the time.
There you go.
Here, does this guy look a little bit like me, Denny?
What the heck, Joe?
Yeah. Don,
I think he's my long lost cousin.
Don Cartagena.
That is Joey Crack for those that are
Chatty
watching.
Crack.
Hey Connor, there's our new Instagram post side by side of Chad and Fat Joe.
Never heard of Joey Crack. Thanks, Denny.
No problem.
Fat Joe is a great rapper from back in the day. Him and Big Punisher just absolutely got it done for the Terror Squad. I know my hip hop. Don't even mess with me on the hip hop. Anyway, Another rip on Lefty here. Southern Soccer Idiot. Fun soccer fact. Which team has given up the most goals in the history of the Premier League, Lefty? Do you know the answer to that?
I would assume it's Everton. But that means that we have been in the league longer than most other clubs as well. It's sheer numbers game, boys. We've never not been in the Premier League. So there you go.
All right, one more thing that might irk Lefty, just because this is getting fun. He had his little moment with Chad and the Pigeons, so now I'm going to talk about another win of the week. Lefty, I got a PSA submission back, and just got a bunch of gems on my Drew Jones cards. I've got now I'm an owner of two Drew Jones 2023 Bowman Chrome First Auto PSA 10s, two of them.
Fantastic.
How do you feel about that? Do you feel better or worse about those than how you felt when I walked over to the booth and said that I bought Tupac cards?
I feel better about the Tupac cards, to be honest.
Wow. I knew that was coming, actually. I knew that was coming. That's why I teed it up.
I have some extreme takes on some guys because I see them as just not worthy. It seems like an investment that it is already crumbling when you make it. And I know the bottom is going to fall out at some point on these cards. And I'm just willing to invest in a guy like Colt Keith or Roki Sasaki or, you know, a Trinity Rodman or somebody that I see long-term value in, even if, like, the short term is speculation because their media is in question. But, like, with Drew Jones, like, dude, he's just bad right now, Paul. Like, watch any of the clips. There's so many better prospects you could be. James Wood is killing him in comparison.
Yeah.
Churio is killing him in comparison.
There's no doubt that I'm going hard into Jackson Churio, and I'm gonna buy Jackson Holiday in December. Like that, I'm looking at Jackson Holiday cards. I'm going to buy Jackson Holiday in December. I'm not going to spend any more money on Drew Jones. I'm going to give you some crap about Drew Jones just because you hate him so much. He's like your Aaron Rodgers. I own some Drew Jones cards. I think I want to profit on them.
Kenny Pickett.
There's some amazing comments related to hip hop in the live chat that if I go there, it's going to take up the entire show. We're going to get to see Todd Keynes's question for sure, because we like to see new names in the live chat. So thank you for joining us. And we will take audience questions later on in the show. But Duke, how do you feel about Drew Jones?
Somewhere between you and Lefty, like I'm not buying him now, but I heard you talk about it last time, and I get where you're at with it. Like if we have him in the shop, he'll sell. But I wouldn't buy today's prices for the long term. I mean, it's not the worst thing you could do, but I think there's other folks I would buy whose prices are much more depressed that have a lot of upside. I guess that's how I would put it.
Yeah. I see Chad nodding. So we'll get over to Chad in a second. But
Just look at this. Look at this.
What does he got? A pigeon or what?
It's blurry. Can't see.
Put it over your face and tilt it down. Drew Jones. Yeah. So the point is you have Drew Jones.
I've been grading the cards that I have.
There you go. I like that strategy. Grade the cards you have. If you pull them and it looks like it's going to grade, would you grade them, Chad? Like what, Chad, Drew Jones. Talk about him.
Well, I think that we've had this conversation, the three of us, before.
You have?
I think so. Didn't we have this conversation at the National? Anyways,
yeah, I'm messing with you.
I'm 100% with Lefty on the abilities of Drew Jones and what his outlook looks like. And I am 100% in Paul's camp as I have 20 cards sitting at PSA waiting for them to come back, because it's not about whether I like the player. It's whether or not he's going to make me money. And Chad. Drew Jones will make me money.
Chad, that's why you're on the show. That's why you're on the show. It's not about the player. It's about whether the player will make you money. And Drew Jones is going to ride that hype train to some profit, baby. Lefty, I know that irks you a little bit, but that's what I'm here for. Okay, we're doing buys. Lefty, who are you buying?
I'm buying a lot of players right now. I have been able to find way better deals since coming home from the National. I talked about last week how I've bought several holidays. I've bought several Cheerios. I've been able to buy several different prospects that I like just very well. But I think yesterday I bought the card that I'm most excited about over the last week. I was able to obtain a redemption out of 250 Xavier Isaac Bowman Chrome Auto. It is a redemption, but his redemptions are already in with Topps, so it's going to come back quickly. And I bought it at $125 from the great Tyler Gregory. So shout out to Tyler Gregory. He sells a lot on Facebook. Very, very prominent figure in the Facebook marketplace, sales market. But shout out to Tyler for giving me a great deal. I bought it for $125 from him. He immediately sent me over the code. I already redeemed it. It's already in the system. But I expect that card to go way up once people realize who Xavier Isaac is. He is going to be pretty high on our list when we redo our rankings for the top 50 Bowman autos that are approachable right now. What I want to do is talk about Xavier Isaac for just a second. What a strange player, first off. When the Rays drafted him last year, I remember I was sitting and listening to Aram and his crew talk about the different, like they have their own deadline and their own draft show. So I remember listening to it. And then I also had the MLB.com draft on the other screen. So I'm listening to both of them. Xavier Isaac comes across the screen. Neither Aram and his crew nor MLB.com had any notes on Xavier Isaac, and he was drafted in the first round. For those of you guys that don't understand the weight of that, these guys probably have production notes for over 1,000 players, and Xavier Isaac had nothing. And he is a guy that was drafted in the first 30 picks. So the Rays found somebody here that no one else even knew of. And everybody was like, well, okay, it's the Rays. You know, they just kind of trusted it because of the prospect demographic that the Rays come from. So when Xavier Isaac came across the screen, I was like, wow, that guy's probably going to be pretty good, but who knows? He came out as a redemption auto. We did talk about him earlier in 2023 on this show because he came out as a redemption auto. He was the only other redemption auto with Spencer Jones. So at the time, his cards were super cheap because nobody knew what was going on. Everybody was pulling Jones and Spencer Jones and Drew Jones, all that kind of stuff. But Xavier Isaac, I think, is a super diamond in the rough. I was able to get an out of 250 for 125. And this, obviously, you can see right here, some of these cards are already listed at pretty good values. Now, this is listed values instead of sold values, but Xavier Isaac is definitely going to be a guy that I'm going to be heavily investing in over the next 6 months.
Brilliant. Did you get the redemption or the actual card?
I got the redemption because that's what he was selling, but I will have the actual card in hand soon.
Awesome. Well, good work, Lefty. Way to go after your guy. And I love that when Lefty plants a flag on a guy, it's usually a success. He's got an amazing track record. So definitely love the call and appreciate you bringing the knowledge to the table. When you were texting Chad and I about this guy a little bit over the weekend, it definitely like perked my ears up. And you know, when Lefty starts talking about somebody, it always comes from a good place. It comes from a lot of research, a lot of knowledge, a lot of knowledge sharing with him and Aram and the guys at Just Baseball. So shout out to everybody. And Duke saying I love when Duke and Chad will break the third wall and it gets me excited. So Duke's on the show, but he's commenting that he bought an Isaac because of Lefty. Duke, talk about it, man.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to Lefty a lot. I value his input. I listen to a couple other baseball guys too, but Lefty is my favorite. And so when he really believes in someone long-term, I'll pluck down some ducats, and it's served me well thus far in my life.
Appreciate it.
Nice. Who else are you buying, Duke?
Okay, so buying. So kind of fading out of football buying season for me, but I was trying to sell a lot of football now. The one football guy I'm still looking for, I looked at National and almost pulled the trigger, is a larger Deshaun Watson. I do think he's so undervalued for what he is, and he's kind of a couple years off. Last year was his first year back. I I just think he's an amazing talent. And usually, like, coming off a long injury, a long absence, that first year back is okay. And your second year back is when you really start to thrive. I think he's so undervalued because of his history. I do think, like most scandals, if you start winning, people start to forget about it and values go up. And he didn't have to go up that much compared to other quarterbacks to turn a profit, because based on where he's priced today. And when I was in the National, I talked to Andy Kaysen and asked him who his number one guy he's buying, and he's the football guy. He's, without hesitating, he said Deshaun Watson. So sign me up for him. But mostly looking to buy basketball. And so the guys I'm looking to buy now, Anthony Edwards, that's no surprise. I'm looking to capitalize on the Thunder and the Cavs over the next 3 years.
Thunder up.
The Thunder, a couple different ways to go about it. I'm basically just going in on Shea, just SGA only, mainly because I'm fearful of Chet getting hurt, and Giddy's okay, but I just think Shea's awesome. And so I think his prices will continue to go up. And then on the Cavs, I just think they have a really good young core. And I'm going to probably try to buy some Darius Garland and Evan Mobley in this offseason. And then the two, I guess, longer, more flyer-type players. Banchero is not really a flyer because he was a first-round number one draft pick, but just being a rookie on a younger guy, second-year player on a bad team, I would consider him a flyer because a lot has to happen for them to be good. Like, they're not going to be good this year. And then finally, my last flyer in the NBA is Emmanuel Quickley for the Knicks. I do think the Brunson effect, you can see how much better the Knicks were with Brunson, his leadership. But I think enough people know about Brunson, it's hard to make a ton of money on him. I could be wrong. But Quickley, the more I watch him play, like, he's a true flyer. Like, he, you know, didn't really start last year, but came in as like a sixth and seventh man. But I think he has tons of upside and somebody that's very exciting. And so if the Knicks have a playoff run next year, I could see him being someone people get excited about. So again, that's a true flyer. But those are the basketball guys I'm circling right now.
I love where your head's at with basketball, and I love where your head's at with the flyers. We had Gary from Hoops and Cards on last week, and he calls them guesses. But I think it's good to have like a nice mix of flyers in your portfolio. And in all seriousness, I love those calls. But just kind of one guy I think you kind of missed is David Roddy. Are you still buying David Roddy?
So, all right. I'm not backing down on what he is. I'm just down on the Grizzlies a little bit because of our guy Ja. Like, he's taking a lot of wind out of that organization. And could he come back? Yes. Are his prices depressed? Maybe. I'm a little worried about him. His maturity. And I think the Grizzlies go as he goes. And I think the Grizzlies have to matter for people to know who David Roddy is. And so I would say if Ja gets his stuff together, they make a run, Roddy keeps moving up, like, his importance in that organization, maybe. But I'm pausing on the buying. I'm not selling, but I'm pausing the buying of Roddy right now. He's a hold.
Chad wrote a great article for nooffseason.com about Ja Morant cards to buy now. And I'm totally kidding with Duke about David Roddy. For those of you out there, that comment was just a nice little jab at Duke because he got really excited last year and started buying all these David Roddy cards, and I like to mess with him about it. So, but I'm kind of on the NBA myself. Like, Connor is our head of content here at nooffseason.com, and he and I were doing some research around just some like lower priced potential pop-offs, and Jordan Poole's 2019 Optic Base PSA 10 is under $30. And that's not necessarily a card with huge upside, but with Jordan Poole in Washington now in a situation where like he could be the number one option, this is not a team that's going to compete, but it's a player that can score 40 or more on any given night on like a potentially really bad team. So that can actually drive the market, especially early on in an NBA season. So that's an interesting, like, low budget play. Another one is LaMelo Ball's 2020 Donruss base PSA 10 is under $20. And we know why. It's a Donruss base. There's like a million of these cards, but for under $20, that's less than the grading fee. You can go get a LaMelo Ball rated rookie PSA 10 for less than the grading fee. And like that card should be much higher than that when LaMelo Ball is playing well for the Charlotte Hornets with Miles Bridges back and with Brandon Miller there. I mean, that team isn't going to be great, but it's going to be highlight reel. City in Charlotte with LaMelo. So $17 last sold for LaMelo Ball 2020 Donruss base rated rookie PSA 10. My third guy before we go over to Chad is Darius Garland. Duke mentioned him. Darius Garland 2019 Optic Holo PSA 10 last sold for $65. These are card. I mean, there was a sale at the end of July for like $45. AG cards mentioned he's getting outbid on basketball cards right now. You might not be able to get these cards for this low, but the last sales of these cards are super low, which tells me you should be able to get them for close to those prices. So I really think if you notice the pattern here, it's guards. It's high scoring, high highlight reel, high likelihood that they will be in SportsCenter top 10 plays. Garland, LaMelo Ball, Jordan Poole. You don't need to go super high-end cards for these guys to make money. You can go base PSA 10s, even high pop counts, and sell after they have, after they're on SportsCenter, after they're featured, after they win NBA Player of the Week or Player of the Month or whatever, pop off for 40 points. Like, get rid of them. These are not cards that are going to go up in value in the long term. These are cards that are super low priced right now that you should be able to sell quickly. No pun intended with Emmanuel quickly, but Chad, not sure if you're going to go basketball because you already blew your budget on basketball, but I know you got some buys, some things for the audience to look out for, that they can take advantage of some opportunities this week to buy. So what do you got teed up for the buys of the week here?
Yeah. So first of all, this last week was fun for me in the sense that, I'm normally rolling with my budget that I've got built up for buying cards is around 10 grand right now.
Congratulations. That's a heck of a budget,
but it's gone. Okay. Everything is invested. But so this last week I was selling off a few cards and I'm buying on a budget. Okay. And I thought about writing an article about this cause it was a lot of fun this week trying to say, all right, I promised my wife I won't go over, I won't touch money that isn't out of my budget, right? So I had freed up a couple $100s and I'm like, what can I do with a couple $100? So here's what I did. These are kind of flyers, guesses, whatever you want to call them, but I think they're more of a higher hit. So I bought, we were talking, the three of us were messaging back and forth this morning. I had a guy message me because I had talked to him about Xavier Isaac. He messaged me this morning. He's like, dude, this just walked into the shop this morning. He must be East Coast somewhere because it was just before the show started. He's like, guy just walked in this morning, got a Xavier Isaac Bowman Chrome First base auto. He said, it looks really sharp and clean. He said, I would need $75 to put this deal together with the guy. Do you want it? And I'm like, sure, I'll take it. So I bought that for $75. But the ones that I were buying on eBay, Johnny Davis Silver Prisms, I bought 8 of them this weekend in the $3 to $5 range. Johnny Davis is a sophomore in the NBA. He did not have a very good first season. Matter of fact, many people were calling him a bust. But if you look at what he did the last 10 games of the year, he started to figure it out. I look for Johnny Davis to come out of the gate hot this year, and I think I'm going to double, triple my money on these $3 to $5 cards. So there's one. The other one is we always look at players coming off an injury. Rashad Bateman for the Baltimore Ravens. He's a wide receiver. He's not a quarterback, but his cards are stupid cheap. I bought 2 rookie ticket auto raw conditions. I got one for $8 and one for $6. How can you go wrong on a rookie ticket auto for that kind of price? The floor is so low. If he sucks, I lose $6 and $8, right? I mean, there's no risk involved at $6 and $8. However, he was averaging 19 yards a catch and had 2 touchdowns when he went. He had, I think, 23 catches, 300 yards, and 2 touchdowns or thereabouts through the first 6 or 8 games last year, and he was starting to really figure it out. With the addition of Odell Beckham and the additions that Baltimore has made and J.K. Dobbins coming back healthy, I think that Rashad Bateman is a good sleeper, especially at that price.
So on the rookie ticket autos, I love that because you don't have to get those cards graded. You don't have to do anything with those cards because they're the contenders rookie ticket autos are basically made to flip. And I think that on the Johnny Davis call, I'm curious though, like with the silver prisms, I'm assuming you're buying those raw. Are you just flipping those raw as well? Is that the play?
Yeah, I don't plan on grade silver prisms grade really tough. So unless I get one that I look at and I'm like, yeah, this has a chance. My play is to just buy them. Like I said, I think I got five total. The play is just going to be have them pop off at the beginning of the year and sell them for $20 a piece. Double, triple my money. But the one that I want to, this is the one that I have not bought. So the full speculation, I have not bought it. I want to buy it. I'm trying to sell off some cards. I'm going to buy it is Alex Ovechkin. Okay. His Young Guns PSA 10. First of all, for those that aren't hockey fans, he is the current playing GOAT, soon to be all-time GOAT. He's chasing down Wayne Gretzky's all-time scoring record. He has 73 goals that he needs to do to break the all-time record. His Young Guns PSA 10 rookie card is a 2005. It has sold back in 2001. It was selling for 12, 15 grand. Most recently, it's been selling in the $45,000 to $5,000 range. In the last 180 days, that card is down to $3,800. So it's down 21% in the last 6 months. Hockey starts up in October. He's averaging 0.61 goals per game for his career, which means that somewhere halfway through, not this season, but next season, so about a year and a half away, he's going to break the record. Even if he slows down a little bit and it takes to the end of next year, what we learned with LeBron James was if you bought into LeBron James before he broke the scoring record, it was a short-lived window. It lasted maybe 2 to 3 weeks, but everything LeBron, rookie cards to 2022 base cards, went up in value. This is, unless Alex Ovechkin gets hurt and he does not break the scoring record, this is the most surefire guaranteed way to make money that I can possibly give anybody in terms of flipping sport cards. It's a longer hold. You're talking 18 to 24 months, and it's a lot of money. So you may not go for this card. There are some fleers and some other rookie cards that aren't to this caliber. I'm gonna plant my flag. This $3,800 card, when he breaks that record, will be at least $6,500. So if you have the money, that's a play.
Yep, I agree. I love that call, and I'm glad you broke that down. That was perfect. And so for the Johnny Davises and the Rashad Batemans, though, you have to text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727 because you are going to need to sell those cards like at a moment's notice. Like Rashad Bateman is going to pop off. He's going to have a big game, and Chad's going to be right. But you need to crystallize the profits right away and sell it. Because the next week, he's going to get one catch for 7 yards, and you're going to be pissed at Chad. So Chad's not the problem. If you're not listing it for sale, that's the problem. Same thing with Johnny Davis. But with Ovechkin, Chad makes a great point that that's a much longer runway. You can acquire that card. Those Young Guns PSA 10s, I could not agree more. I think that they have a great potential for the top names to get the Young Guns PSA 10s. I know lefties looked into some Young Guns PSA 10s for guys like Connor McDavid and maybe some of the other guys, just because there's just so like such a solid like market for those. I mean, they don't really dip for the top guys, and they kind of only steadily go up. So that's kind of an area that we probably need to talk about more. There's a lot of opportunities there. So great stuff, Chad. So speaking of lefty, over to you in terms of who you're selling. I know there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in baseball and everywhere else. What are your top sells right now, lefty?
I don't really have a whole lot of cards that I'm selling right now. Just because primarily I don't have a lot of football cards and I sold a bunch of them at the National. But obviously we've talked about selling football. I would get ready to be selling Corbin Carroll. Anything Corbin Carroll, I mean, I think you could move out of it now. I mean, it's peaking in price. And he's probably going to win the Rookie of the Year. But at the same time, just get out of it while you can. I'm going to sell one of my Corbin Carrolls today. But I think another one that you could sell right now is Harry Kane. I don't think he's going to be what people expect him to be at Bayern, and for him to have $100 million move or €100 million move from Tottenham to Bayern, I think that's a pretty big transfer for him. He's younger than people expect, but he's a poacher. He's not like a Neymar-esque type goal scorer. He's a poacher, which means he's getting rebounds and scoring close to the goal. I just don't think Harry Kane's market will be there after this transfer. So if you have Harry Kane cards, move out of them now. Plus, if you have Tottenham cards in general, I would move out of them now because I think that Tottenham will actually struggle with relegation this year. Harry Kane was their primary source of goals this last season, and he's now gone. Tottenham is going to very much struggle this year in the Premier League, and my hot take is they will be in the bottom five by the end of the season.
Ooh, we are selling. Lefty bringing it strong. I'm going to go next because a couple questions I have for Lefty here too. So like the thing I saw from Slab Stocks, Slab Stocks puts out a lot of really good data in their graphics on social media and in their email, their daily slab. So I want to give them a lot of credit. However, I'm going to break down a few different sell opportunities in my segment here. And they're going to kind of talk about a few different things that Slab Stocks puts out there that I think some of them are good and others are a little bit misleading that I want to clarify for people. First up, it looks like Sal Frelick is a sell right now. Lefty, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would.
Chad, would you agree with that?
He's playing unreal right now. And with the speculation that the Brewers might leave Milwaukee, I know that's going to break Chad's heart and they're going to probably figure that out.
Not his L of the week. Oh, maybe
Brewers aren't going anywhere.
Okay.
As a taxpayer, he's saying that.
So Sal Frelick is up, like his 2021 Bowman draft auto, refractor auto, and probably most of his other cards are up. So again, shout out to Slab Stocks for the great data that they put out there. I definitely think the one thing, though, that caught my eye about that, and we've got some great questions in the live chat that we're going to get to, so everybody please stay tuned for that. But my question for Lefty and Chad here and even Duke is like, Is this window of a post call up widening in terms of sell opportunities, or is it strictly based on like player performance after the call up? Like, is this because he was called up a while ago, July 22nd? I mean, a while ago, like that's like 3 or 4 weeks ago. That is a while in the context of like a prospect selling window. Is this like becoming a thing, guys, or is this only like Ellie De La Cruz and guys like Sal who have played really well?
So Sal Frelick is playing really, really well. Arguably, I would say, and not just because he's my Brewer, he might be next to Ellie De La Cruz. He might be playing the best of anybody else that's been called up this year. However, his base Chrome First auto PSA 10, which I sold when it peaked at $375 the week that he got called up, is down to $160.
Yeah, so this Slab Stock data can be very misleading for them to put out a graphic of like one particular card. It's a bit in a vacuum. So really sounds like maybe the window was missed on most of the sell Frelick cards. And that's why I wanted to ask this, because I think like we need to be very specific about when to buy and when to sell. Otherwise, you're not going to make money. So like it really is important to sell immediate pre-call up or right at call up. Like to Chad's point, like that one card, which probably has a much higher pop count than the card that Slab Stocks put out there, is really the like that's when you needed to sell it. And so another one is Dirk Nowitzki. So he was inducted into the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame over the weekend, along with Tony Parker, Pau Gasol, Dwayne Wade. This has kind of been a longstanding thing for the last few years in sports card investing and flipping is there actually a bump when a Hall of Fame announcement or induction happens. And the reason I bring this up is, again, for those of you that are new to this, I think that it can be misleading when you see Slab Stocks put out a graphic that Dirk Nowitzki's bigger, two of his bigger cards went up, an immaculate card that he's on with Luka went up to $12,000, and his 1998 Skybox Premium Star Rubies went up to $28,000 over the weekend. But these are like, that is not a Hall of Fame bump to me. So it is like, I don't know that people should be buying into Hall of Famers under the like future. I don't know that people should be speculating on whether or not a guy like, say, Kawhi Leonard, you know, like, of course he's going to make the Hall of Fame, but I don't know that they should be speculating about when Kawhi retires and when he gets announced into the Hall of Fame and inducted, that his cards will actually go up in value. So I just don't know that like this is actually a thing, but I do think that because Dirk's in the news for this, that it is an opportunity to sell Dirk's cards and those other guys. I just don't know that like the, I want to clarify, I don't think it's actually a play to try and speculate if the card value will go up. So I want to get your guys' comments on that in a second. But one more that falls into that category is when documentaries come out. So Slab Stocks put out a graphic.
Oh, let's go.
Johnny Manziel cards. And so I'm not ripping on Slab Stocks. I'm just cautioning new people into the hobby and the listeners to our show. To me, these are not plays. Like, I wouldn't go prospect on who's going to be next featured on the Untold documentary on Netflix. Like, I would not do that. But if you're holding Johnny Manziel cards and you wanted to get rid of them, now's probably a good time. It's just not a play. But like, I think the way that Slab Stocks put out these graphics of Johnny Manziel cards, you got to look. This is a National Treasures patch auto on card sold for $800. A Nike swoosh National Treasures on card auto sold for $372. And then another patch out of 25 out of National Treasures sold for $257. What I'm saying is, great time to sell Johnny Manziel. Great time to sell Dirk Nowitzki. These are not plays to be made, though. Lefty, talk about it.
Well, I agree. Like, Dirk and Johnny both fall in a category of massive fan appeal. You know, they are cult following figures in Texas. And growing up there, both of these guys have incredible markets. You know, Dirk Nowitzki shows up anywhere, people are going to come out in droves to see him. Same with Johnny. I mean, he still has this like magnifying effect, even with everything. And so I understand what you're saying, but I do think I'm getting more to the point where I am only going to buy before a call up and sell at the call up. Yes. I'm not worried about like people are going to come on our show and be like, oh, are you concerned about Wander Franco? You know, like with his speculation, I'm going to be like, no, sorry, I've already sold every card I have of him because he's a major leaguer, you know, like, and so I'm always just going to push back into prospects. I think that's what I'm going to try to do for the future. But I do want to bring this up while we're on the topic of Johnny Manziel, okay? I do want to bring it up versus your man, your guy, Kenny Pickett. I saw this earlier this week, couldn't put it down. Is Johnny Manziel better than Kenny Pickett, Paul? Look at the stats. Tell me yes or no. Oh, yeah,
I did see this too. I know what you're talking about. dude, I mean, watching Untold on Johnny Manziel and having just watched Quarterback with like Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, like for Johnny Manziel to say that he watched zero tape, like he watched, like he didn't want to be in the NFL at all. He watched zero tape. We all know what he was doing out there partying. So here's the graphic. Like, good point. Great discussion. I actually love this kind of stuff, but no. Johnny Manziel's not better than Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett, I have to assume, at some level actually wants to be in the NFL more than Johnny Manziel did. I have to assume that Kenny Pickett has watched at least 1 second of tape, which is far more than Johnny Manziel ever watched. Johnny Manziel's slamming a tablet against his face on the sideline so that he doesn't have to watch what's on it. Whereas Kenny Pickett is studying what's on it and is going to be far better than Johnny Manziel as an NFL quarterback. I'm more confident in that prediction than I am in even in my prediction of the Jets winning less than five games this year.
Well, I would go with you there. Like, I do think he's better than Johnny Manziel. But the fact that the graphic compared one of my guys from my all-time fandom in terms of my A&M fandom, not NFL fandom, A&M fandom, Johnny Manziel. And then also with the fact that he has a lower QBR in 2022 than Johnny Manziel had, I just couldn't pass up the opportunity to bring it up.
I love it. There's
Small Hands Kenny is not going to be anything, and we've talked about this a lot, and you think he's going to be better than Aaron Rodgers.
We have to bring in a neutral party right now. Duke, please help us.
Yeah, I don't think Kenny Pickett is clubbing and doing OxyContin on the weekends. Like, if you, I watched the Manziel documentary last night. It was unbelievable. If you guys haven't watched it, please go watch. I mean, I knew he was crazy. I knew he partied, but the level, like, of a lot of people that kind of helped enable him to, like, get to the draft and all that, it was just unreal. But yeah, I'm more bullish on Pickett than I ever was on Manziel as an NFL starter, for sure.
That wasn't the question. That was not the question.
What was the question? Who had a better rookie?
Is he going to be better than Aaron Rodgers this year?
That's Lefty's question.
Oh, that's no. I would take Rodgers over Pickett, sure.
That's a little ridiculous. Pickett's going to be way better. But anyway, Duke, the question I wanted to ask Duke is actually more related to, like, what's your perspective on the retirement play? Is there a play? Like, what do you see from your perspective on? Because I do think that is one of the biggest mistakes that people can walk into the hobby assuming is this pattern of, oh, I'm going to prospect on a potential Hall of Famer's value going up. Like, yes, it could, but I don't think it's guaranteed. But what do you think? Am I wrong? Do you see a different perspective there?
No, I do think if you're going to do it, I think the time to do it is like 2 to 3 years, halfway in between retirement and Hall of Fame, because no one's talking about them. You know, you get over the retirement hype and you haven't started the Hall of Fame hype. So if there's a window, it's probably that 2 to 3 years. That's a long time to wait. And what we've seen in this market is 2 to 3 years, the whole general economy could change so much for the good or for the bad that you could be right and still lose money. It's just a long time. I mean, and if you're going to do it, I think I would do it with the guys that are in big markets that are true top tier Hall of Fame guys. Like, Lefty was talking about the hype in Dallas and Texas for Dirk, but that hype doesn't really, like, that doesn't hit Virginia. Like, no one, like, of all the guys that just got inducted, I would think Dwayne Wade maybe is the guy that people are going to talk about the most nationwide, but not many people are going to talk about Dirk or Tony Parker in Virginia, California, other markets, in my opinion. So I think that's a long time to wait for not that great of a pop, is my thought.
All right, well, we know that you're selling cards a lot because you own a card shop and you break on whatnot and or drip 5 nights a week. But who do you think are good sells right now?
So we, as a shop, we're going to the Burbank show in 2.5 weeks. And so we are hoping to sell a ton of football. Like, the guys that we've bought in the last 6 months, like Josh Allen, Herbert, Lamar, I'm hoping that we are going to be able to unload some of these at Burbank. And you mentioned the Jets. Just so happened, so the Jets are on Hard Knocks right now. One trend that I'm sure exists is – people watch Hard Knocks each year and get overly excited about whoever's on it because the storylines, you get to know the characters. Like, if you do fantasy football, for example, you know what I'm talking about. You get so excited about Jarvis Landry. You draft him 2 rounds too early, and he's still Jarvis Landry. So I think the guys are hyping up already on Hard Knocks. All great players, Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, and Sauce. I think you're going to see a little over-exuberance when it comes to fantasy, over-exuberance when it comes to sports betting, over exuberance when it comes to cards with those guys. And so this month is a great time to sell those three guys, because I think New York's a big market. If you watch the first episode, you were convinced that Sauce is the best cornerback of all time, and you're convinced that Sauce and Garrett Wilson are making each other better in practice, which is probably true. And you're convinced that Aaron Rodgers is the savior, and he's leading them to the Super Bowl. After one episode, it's hard to watch it and not think that. So the whole nation's going to be thinking that. And so I think those three guys, put them up on the market right now.
Phenomenal point. I love that you said that. Did Rocky Empire get screwed over by the Hard Knocks hype on his Sauce Gardner plays?
I say Sauce is really good. I played football. I played corner, and watching Sauce looks like he knows where the receiver's going every play. And he's like, if you could design a corner, that's him. Like that's it. So he may end up being the best of all time. But so it's a great time. If a lot of people are thinking that, it's a good time to sell him.
He certainly also has that swag and that appeal that I think could lead him to be like the defensive player that actually sells well in the hobby. So, but it is a good point, Duke. Like I would definitely build up off that Hard Knocks hype. I think it's real. And we're seeing spikes in football anyway. And then when you compound that with kind of like a perfect storm of being featured on a show like Hard Knocks, it's a good time to sell. Chad, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I'm going to do my sells quick, and then I got to run. So first of all, on the Hall of Fame thing, in the past, Hall of Fame has given players bumps. However, the last 2 years have been a little bit different in the market. But I just want to give you some statistics. So I went out, full disclosure, I bought a bunch of Dirk Nowitzki. I bought it for my PC. I didn't care if it went up or not. Not because he's going into Hall of Fame, but because I collect Hall of Famers for my PC. Okay, that's the disclosure. However, I did buy enough of them thinking that if he did pop off, that I could sell a couple of them and it'd pay for the ones that I kept, and I'd have them for free or very little. Didn't work. So Topps Chrome, 1998 Topps Chrome Base Raw, in the last 30 days, down 38%. PSA 9, down 36%. PSA 10, up 10%. So the PSA 10s did get a little bump, but it's only a pop 200. So the cards that most people are going to buy all went down 25, 30% in the last 30 days. So that just isn't a thing. My sells of the week are, if you have any Ellie De La Cruz cards left and you have not sold them yet, now is the time. They're coming down. It's the next Julio Rodriguez. If you remember last year, he went nuts. His cards went nuts. Look where he is today. If you have not sold Ellie and you're holding on to him because you think whatever you're thinking, stop it. Get rid of them. Buy them back in spring for 30 cents on the dollar. They're gonna crash hard at the end of the season. The Reds are going nowhere. He has cooled off. His prices are cooling off. Get rid of him. The other one is Bowman Chrome University. The reason why people buy Bowman Chrome University is for speculation plays. Dorian Thompson Robinson is the third string quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. His cards right now are popping off. So if you have them, sell them. In the first two, he did the Hall of Fame game, and then in the second week, so he's got about 200 yards and two touchdowns in two games, but he's playing against third and fourth string players. And the hype, I don't understand it. His
Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks. He was in Hard Knocks and got a shout out. And yeah, that's why. That's exactly why.
It's Bowman Chrome University first. His refractors, autos, were selling for $5 to $10 a piece. And after his second performance where he threw a touchdown and looks like one of the better statistical quarterbacks on the Browns, they're selling now for $62 to $70. It's a huge profit, but if you have any, get rid of them. Watch your Bowman Chrome first universities. Watch for the players to have a big game and get them listed right away. There's no sense in hanging on to them unless they're, you know, a CJ Stroud, one of the top players. Of course, obviously you can do that, but these third and fourth stringers that you're doing for speculation, preseason is the time to get rid of them. So hope everybody has a great week. I got to run.
All right, Chad, have a good one, man. Great stuff. Bye, Chad. I agree. Like going through your Bowman Chrome universities and understanding who is playing well in the preseason and who has big box scores and, or might be featured on Hard Knocks, to Duke's point, great time to, you know, move some of those cards for cash while you can, if you have them, if you ripped boxes of Bowman U Chrome football and you got a bunch of them lying around, dig through them and see who's playing well in the preseason. Even if they play well in the start of the college season, if they're not in the pros yet, they still could be in that set. I listed my Trey Lance base paper Donruss rated rookie PSA 10s because he had a big game. Even in a preseason loss, he played really well. And so who knows what's going to happen with him. So I just went ahead and listed him. So I think that's actually a great strategy. Guys, in the last few minutes of here, let's say hello to some new people that have longtime listeners, first time commenters. Cody Cabreros, what's up? Cody from Mob the Arcade. Good to see you catch a live stream. I understand Cody's actually won a lot of money at arcades, and then he's used that money, I believe, to buy PS4s or something, and then he's flipped the PS4s and then reinvested that into sports cards and flipped the sports cards. So that's pretty cool. Good to see you in the live chat here. We've got C. Todd Canes. So C. Todd Canes is a longtime listener, first time live participant. Do you grade one of one cards? This is actually a great question. And because you are new to the show, we will say we have covered this before, but thank you for asking. Chad is adamant that you should not grade one of one cards, because to grade a card is really to create rarity for it. And because a one of one already has rarity, it really would be risking devaluing the card if it does not get a 10. So I'll go ahead and just kind of answer that off the bat. Infinity Trader, though, says, any thoughts on Wonbin Cho Cardinals prospect? As a fellow Korean, I look at the Korean MLB players. Stats are looking good, and he's still young at 19, 20 years old. Thanks, Infinity Trader. Good stuff. Over to our baseball expert, Lefty McKee, for this one.
Yeah, when Wonbin Cho's cards came out about a year ago, we found him as a speculatory chase in the product. He's a guy that has some good projectables, and even with what you see here in the 2023 stats, his WRC plus is north of 100 by 14 ticks, which means he's 14% better than league average. He's rocking a 270 with a lower than 30 K rate with five pumps. So he definitely is looking the part at single A as a 19-year-old. So I like what he's doing there at the Cardinals. I also will say that he is a guy that Aram has been keeping tabs on as well. And if Aram keeps tabs on a guy, that's probably a good thing. So yeah, I like Wonbin Cho's long-term value.
Thanks, Lefty. Infinity Trader also asked, thoughts on player breaks. Is it worth it? Duke, I'm curious to your take on this one.
So we don't host player breaks as a shop. And I haven't done them as a buyer much. I don't have much input other than, if it's a player that you value more than the general public, then you're probably getting that player at a price that makes sense. It commensurate with the risk possibly, but it's not something I have a lot of experience with.
Lefty, clarify player breaks versus like just a team break where you're trying to get a player. Because I know you were targeting Jordan Lawler a couple years ago out of 2021 draft, and you were buying into Diamondbacks breaks, right? So what is Infinity Trader referring to when he talks about player breaks versus maybe just trying to get a player by buying into a specific team?
Yeah, player breaks is something that I have a little experience with. It's a strategy that I use when I see a guy that's undervalued in the hobby that I think deserves more respect. You can go in and get, usually player breaks are for cases of cards or multiple cases of cards. Doesn't really make sense for you to do a player break on a single hobby or something like that, because it's just way more work for the actual mailer, for the fulfillment side. Having experience with breaking company, like, I can just tell you the fulfillment side of a player break would be a horrific experience. So I have bought into some player breaks trying to look at where guys are extremely undervalued in the hobby and moving money into that section. But still, I usually get beat out on some of those player breaks because people are just coming in and want their specific guy. It's usually where a lot of people are going in and PCing, or guys with massive buying power can come in and buy Jackson Holiday slots and stuff like that for like thousands of dollars. And when they pull three or four or five autos out of a 10 case, thing, it's going to pay off for them. You just have to have big money to make big money in that market. So it's hard, but it is doable. I would say that I have done it previously, but I did for the Jordan Lawler. I also did buy into player breaks and didn't get any autos when I bought into his player breaks. So that was a massive loss for me.
All right, we got two more questions, and if you guys need to drop off, I can take them. Cody asks, what are your thoughts about PSA-graded cards that verify or authenticate the card but grade the auto only? Are these red flags to avoid, or what does the market think about these? I think these are good. They can be good entry points if you can't afford or don't have the budget to get into like a high card grade, auto grade. I would caution against buying cards that are not pack pulled autographs, that are only PSA authenticated without the card grade. These are just, plays can be made on them, but I think you would have to buy them super low priced out of like a Beckett authenticated only. If you take a Beckett authenticated only auto, that was not a pack pulled auto, it was an in-person signed after it was pulled out of the pack. If you can get that for super cheap and send it to PSA for like $75 and have them grade the auto and maybe just authenticate the card, like authentic card, but have an auto grade, or just authentic auto if the auto looks kind of crappy, getting it in a PSA slab versus a Beckett slab, even if it's just authentic with no grade, can increase the value of a card for a player that is a legit player, like a Giannis or an Anthony Edwards, or, you know, maybe even like a Jalen Hurts or somebody like that. But it's never going to come close to the sales value of like a pack pulled certified auto. For those, it's almost like the auto grade doesn't really matter for those. So I don't know that there's red flags, but I think that there is like a checkpoint that you should look at. If it's missing a grade, or if it's a non-pack pulled auto, it's never going to have the value that it would for a high grade. And so it is, to a certain extent, Cody, a strategy that people will use to kind of fake the value of a card maybe being higher than it should, because they maybe know that the card won't grade well or the auto won't grade well. Global asks, which second-year NBA players are you guys speculating for this season? Mine is Josh Giddey. I think actually it's going to be Josh Giddey's third year.
Yeah.
Chet Holmgren actually, I think is a second year guy that's gonna
not
do very
fair.
Well.
First year,
I like not fair. First year, that's true. It is technically his first year, but
Jalen Williams. There you go,
Jalen Williams. Duke, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm on Banchero more than. I mean, that's pretty the obvious answer. Yep. If they went first, but that's probably the guy I like the most.
As much as I want to say Jaden Ivey, I think Benedict Mathurin is going to be a guy that you just, you're going to see him move into the starting lineup. He was a sixth man last year. I think the only thing is Indiana doesn't really have like a market that lends itself to have like a big time star in it. I think that's the only thing going against him, but just from a player perspective, he's one that I think is going to continue to get people's attention. But great question. We appreciate everyone's participation in the show. Shout out to Janelle Hsu, who's excited for soccer to come up again. Don't give up on the Women's World Cup. Games were amazing, even with the U.S. women's team out of it. Cleo Cards, a little bit down on Darius Garland. We get that. That's true. But we also think that he's going to have a bounce back season. And oh, my shoes, have a good day at work getting your coffee, brother. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show. For Kendall McKee and Duke Dotson, I'm Paul Hickey with NoOffseason.com. Kendall, do you have anything to add today since we still have you on the show here?
I'm getting to see Messi next week, and I'm getting pretty excited about that. I'm going to go see Messi and play FC Cincinnati.
Awesome. Duke, Denny, one-time Dotson, Graybos, anything you want to add before we sign off?
I would say Saturday, working in the shop, we had two guys come in. One guy, they're both from Alabama originally. The guy from Alabama moved to Richmond, and his friend was visiting. His friend listens to this podcast, came to Richmond to visit his friend, brought his friend into the shop. They bought a hobby box. That was fun. And then, yeah, just remind people we break on drip on Tuesdays now, but we're on Whatnot Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So come check us out. We do baseball, football, and wrestling mostly. So come see us.
Wrestling.
When you buy off of Graybos.co, use the promo code STRATEGY2023. And when you go into the shop, tell Duke that you only would know about Graybos from the Sports Card Strategy Show, just so that we can steal the deal for future partnerships with Graybos. All right, Shane Graham. Shane Graham is starting to rip out all the SI for Kids cards from the magazines that he found at his house. Would you grade all the bigger names, even though some of the cards may have creases, etc.? No, I would not. Stay tuned for which cards to actually grade out of SI for Kids. Great question, though. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show. Have a great day. Let's cue that rock music. We'll see you
soon. Cue it. Later.